Well, thank you everybody for being here. Hope at home, if you're watching online, thank you for being here. We love all of you. We love you guys. And I'm just so grateful to be here today. I just wanted to, you know, obviously your attention has been drawn to the surroundings. Doesn't it look great in here? Looks great, yeah. And I just want to thank all those that stayed after our brunch to come in here and help set all this up. Thank you so much. And all of those people who didn't come in here but actually stayed back there and cleaned up the brunch. I really appreciate all of that. Thank you for lending a hand to do that. It is a wonderful time of year. Before I get started, I think there's just a couple of announcements. One, we have, I don't know if we have a slide for this, but we have a Christmas community meal coming up. You'll have to remind me, Zach, are you in here? The date of that? The 11th. There it is. Thank you, Shailene. The date of that we're going to have on the 11th. It's a Wednesday night. We're going to have a Christmas community meal. So prepare yourself for that. We won't have classes that night, but we'll just have another time of fellowship and a great time together. And then I see a lot of red and green out there. Wow, very good job. Some of you went all out. You blend in here with the surroundings. I love it. So we're just going to start to have some fun this season with some theme days. Next week, we're going to have fun socks, okay? So I want to be seeing all your socks. I actually have some green ones on today right there. Look at that. Yeah, but we'll have some fun ones on. We'll have some more fun ones on next week, okay? So let's have fun doing that. Man, Judd Myers, he's not in here, but man, he was looking fresh. Did you see him up here? That little, like, what was that? Like a velvet green coat? Man, I got to get one of those. That was great. You know, I always get just a little bit freaked out by the huge Joseph here. I mean, that thing is like so big. I think that's like the biggest nativity Joseph I've ever seen. I don't know. I'm just distracted. It looks like there's a person standing next to me. It's crazy. All right. Well, let's get started. This is the first day of Advent, as you know. And the word, we heard this already, but the word means coming or arrival. So when we say Advent, we mean the coming of the long-awaited Messiah to this earth. And the first day of Advent is all about hope. And today, I just want to give you hope today. I want you to leave today with more hope than you had coming in. Okay, so turn with me to Luke chapter 1. If you have your Bibles with you, we're gonna do a little bit of Luke chapter 1. And as we celebrate during this season of Advent, we do this every year here at Hope Church, and we have purposely set aside these next 4 weeks to prepare our hearts for this season, to prepare our hearts for Christmas. And that is the intention of this time. And so I want you to do that. I want you to begin to do that this season. There's a lot of preparation, right, that goes into Christmas. I'm sure you guys are full on actively waiting for Christmas to come by doing a lot of preparation, but an important piece of it all is to make sure that our hearts are prepared, that our hearts do not lose hope. Okay? And you say, now how do we do that? How do we not lose hope? Because in this world, we put a lot of hope in a lot of things that a lot of time doesn't work out. Anybody know the feeling of hoping for something that never happens? Right? How do we not lose hope? And it's not uncommon for people to lose hope around this time of year, depending on what they've gone through in life, or maybe even depending on what you're going through right now. So I want to look at one of those moments in the Bible that is that truly demonstrates what hope really is. Okay? And so just a little background to this section of Luke. You may know that John the Baptist and Jesus were related because John's mother, Elizabeth, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were relatives. That's what the Bible tells us. So that's where we're going to pick up here in Luke 1, starting down in verse 26. Okay, and it says this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Now that is a very hope-filled passage, right? But what a task to be given to Mary. What an incredible thing to be revealed to her by the angel Gabriel. Now Gabriel, although it's possible that Gabriel appeared on multiple occasions throughout God's word, he is only named as Gabriel on three occasions and only by two people in the Bible. One is right here. So we know that this angel is Gabriel and it's here with Mary. Do you know the other one? Anyone remember the other person who tells us Gabriel spoke to him? We just studied this. There it is. Daniel. If you recall, Daniel also had a message from Gabriel. So, in fact, the last time in God's word before this moment that we see Gabriel, that we know it's Gabriel by name, was in Daniel chapter 9. And we just came and we just finished Daniel, but I just find that really amazing that Daniel chapter 9 is the last time we hear Gabriel's name, and Daniel chapter 9 is the one chapter in the Bible that predicts the exact timing of the advent of our Messiah. Isn't that incredible? And here we are, hundreds of years later, with the big announcement of the birth of the Messiah by none other than the angel Gabriel. How incredible. How incredible. He told us this was going to happen in Daniel, and he shows up again, and he gives the big announcement that this is going to happen. That's why it's so important to catch what Gabriel says in verse 37. So we're going to skip down real quick to verse 37. He says, "For no word from God will ever fail." No word from God will ever fail. In Scripture, this is a moment. This is the moment. It's the moment of fulfilled prophecy. And so my first point is this. We must put our hope in the Word of God. We must put our hope in the Word of God, in what God's Word has told us will happen. That's where our hope belongs. Now, Gabriel doesn't say, "Hey, this is going to be easy." Doesn't say that. He says his word will never fail. In other words, it's completely reliable. It's concrete. God's word is reliable. And we need to put our hope in what it says. Now, that doesn't mean we won't have questions along the way, right? For here's what Mary has to say about this announcement in verse 34. She says, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "Since I am a virgin." Now, obviously, she knows how things work, right? She knows also what people might think if something like this were to happen. But the angel answers her, verse 35, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month." Elizabeth was very old. She couldn't have kids, but she had John the Baptist. So the answer is this. The answer is this isn't possible without the Holy Spirit. It's not possible. And so my second point is this. Our hope must be placed in the work of the Holy Spirit. And if you go through enough life, we figure out that what we can do oftentimes comes up short, right? We come up a little short. But things are meant to come up a little short in our own strength. Eventually, in life, something in your life is going to come up short of your expectations. It's just going to happen. What you hoped for is not always going to happen. What you relied on is not always going to come through. What you did in your own strength is not going to be enough at some point. And some of those things are going to be harder than others, but all of those things that happen to us in our lives are meant to drive us to real hope in our lives. Why? Because it points us to the insufficiency in ourselves and to an all-sufficient God. Amen? There's a scripture from 2 Corinthians. I want to read it to you this morning. And Paul speaks to the Lord. He's praying to the Lord. And he's talking about, you've heard, the thorn in the flesh. And he's saying, "Hey, help me with this thing." We don't exactly know what he's talking about, but he's saying, "Help me with this thing." And the Lord responds to him by saying this. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Paul says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Everyone say sufficient. Go ahead. Sufficient. All right? The word sufficient, my grace is sufficient. It comes from the word archaeo in Greek. Do you know what it means? Exactly. Good job. That's exactly what it means. It means enough. God's grace is enough for you. You are not enough for you, but God's grace is more than enough for you. And why is that? Because his grace is given to us through the Holy Spirit, just like it was with Mary. It is an outside source that lives inside our hearts. And that's why, church, we've got to get our hearts right this Christmas. And the only way to do that is to fill it up with enough grace. And the only way to do that is to get the Holy Spirit in your heart. And the only way to do that is to ask. Is to ask for the Savior to come into your life. Because that is where the grace comes from that you need. From the all-sufficient God. When we find ourselves to be insufficient. Hope is about what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. Not in what we can do. But what we think we can do oftentimes turns out to be exactly what we can't do. Have you ever experienced that? You thought you could do it, you figured out you couldn't. We needed help. We needed grace in some area of our lives. And so our hope must be placed in the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's look at what might be one of the greatest statements of hope ever uttered in the Bible. It is Mary's response to all that's being said. Mary's response to the pressure that has just come upon her life to be able to carry out this huge task. Verse 38, here's what she says to all this. I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left. My third point is this. Hope is the expectation that the will of God will be fulfilled. Even if it means the will of God overrides my will and the things I want. My hope is in the expectation that the will of God will be fulfilled. That's why I love this passage. Gabriel predicted this hundreds of years ago when he was sent to Daniel. Here he is saying, look, the time has finally come. And what we said would happen is happening. That is exciting. And if you think about Mary in all of this, in her wildest dreams, Mary could never have predicted that this would happen to her. But once it was revealed to her, from this day forward, Mary lived with real hope. The expectation of the fulfillment of God's purpose for our lives. That's what hope is. That's where we really need to place our hope. And oftentimes when we speak about hope, or we're just generally in conversation about the things we hope for, we speak more about the feeling of hope. The desire that we have, the desire that maybe something can happen the way we want it to happen, but the problem with that kind of hope is that it's not very concrete. And that kind of hope can disappear overnight sometimes. It's a hope that's based on feelings. And it's hard to move forward on hope that's based on feelings that can evaporate so quickly, or hope based on emotions. It's not a hope that you can count on. And as we know, and as some of us have likely experienced this year, not everything we hoped for came to pass. In fact, some of the things we hoped for might have even ended in sadness in some ways. And that's because feelings are easily overtaken by circumstances in life, aren't they? They're up and down. They're all over the place. And so if that's the kind of hope you're hanging on to this Christmas season, you may need to relight the hope in your own heart. We have to ask ourselves this morning, what kind of hope do I have in my life? Is it a hope that can be easily overtaken by circumstances and hardship? Or is it a hope that says, may your word to me be fulfilled? No matter what that means. That's true hope. That's the kind of hope that ends in complete confidence that God will prevail in your life. And I know there's things even now in your life that you're hoping God will prevail in. He will come through. His will prevail. Right? Hope is not the feeling of longing for a thing. Hope is placed in the thing itself. So that thing better be able to come through with certainty. And that's why we say we have to place our hope in Jesus Christ and nothing else. He is the thing we long for. Amen? In fact, hope, at this point, hope is not based on me at all, in any way. Hope is not based on me. Real hope, what we long for this Advent season, has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Christ. And that's what we hope in. Let me read a passage from the Psalm 65. This is a Psalm of David. As he's praying to the Lord, he says this. He says, you who answer prayer, to you all people will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds. God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth. Our salvation is from God. Our Savior is Jesus Christ, and He is the hope of all the ends of the earth. Amen? I want you to know today that if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if you follow Him, then you are to be a person of this kind of hope. A person that says what Mary said. May your word to me be fulfilled. A person that understands what real hope is, the expectation of fulfilled prophecy. That is the only hope we can rely on. Hope is not always easy. It's not always easy. The good thing is it's not based on you either. That's a great thing. That I don't have to fail in that way because my hope is placed in Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to just finish talking about hope with a few great verses about hope from God's Word that I hope you're familiar with. These are great, great things to remember. Number one, when it comes to hope, the Bible offers us a powerful symbol that reflects what it means to have hope. Anybody know what that symbol is? There it is. I heard it. Say it louder. Anchor. It's the anchor. Somebody knows. Somebody knows what hope is. It's the symbol of the anchor. Hebrews chapter 6, 19, the first part of the verse says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. What is it about the anchor? That's such a great analogy. Well, anchors hold massive ships in place. But that doesn't mean that it calms the seas around the ship, right? Things still get dicey. Things are still difficult. Conditions grow more violent, and the waves and the wind will increase, right? And pound against the ship. And sometimes this drags and it pulls on the anchor. Isn't that so true of what it feels like sometimes to be a Christian, to keep walking, that there's a lot pulling against your faith? That's what hope feels like sometimes. It can become strained. It's not always pleasant, but it is always secure. And that's what we want. And it's not about being able to sail through the storm. Sometimes it's about outlasting the storm and staying in place and holding on to what you believe. And the beauty of the design of the anchor is that it works against all those violent waves that are hammering your life. And I know some of y'all have been through hard things this year. Things coming against your life, but when that happens to the anchor and things pull against the anchor digs in. That's the design. And so if you have real hope, true hope, and you've put your hope in the right place, then if you begin to pull me away from God, I just dig in more. You can't pull me away because I dig in. Because my hope is in the right thing, not the wrong thing. If I put hope in my emotions, I'm just tossed back and forth every other day. It's not where we put our hope. We don't put our hope in our own abilities or in our own minds or in the things we can accomplish. We put our hope in Christ. Amen. I want to ask you this question. Are you digging in more? As things come against you, as hard times come, are you digging in deeper to keep your faith? If you are, I would say you understand hope, because that's what is meant to happen. Just think about your faith, right? The hope we have in Jesus Christ will pull against the currents of the world. It's inevitable. That's what will happen. Let me read another verse from Romans chapter 5. It says this. Paul says, "We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, what's the answer? Hope." Wow, the end of the sentence, the end of the statement is hope. That is what is supposed to be produced in your life after all the suffering and the perseverance and the character building and all the things that you learn you're supposed to do. It's hope is what comes out the other side of that. And it's clear that God wants us to have hope. And so sometimes what you're going through, God can use it to produce hope in you. And we have to see our insufficiency to hold it all together. We just don't have it sometimes. We need that anchor. And the true anchor was born in that manger for us. Amen? Amen. I want to invite the worship team to come back up. I think we're going to close in a couple more songs. I love the Christmas season and the Christmas songs that we sing. They're so wonderful. Let me finish with one more verse about hope. Let me ask you the question, how can I get more hope? Right? Talking about hope, how can I get more? I need the anchor. Romans 15:4. I think we're going to put this one up. Here's what it says. Listen to this. For everything that was written, how much of what was written? Everything. Everything written, the entire Bible, all of God's word. Every single word that your eyes run across in God's word, there's one purpose for it. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have, there it is again, the outcome of everything that we're going through is to have real hope. Hope in the anchor. Hope for the soul. It's the outcome that Scripture leaves us with. Hope for what? The advent of our Messiah, Jesus Christ, who came into this world at the announcement of the angel Gabriel and who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, who lived and who died and who made a promise that he will return again. We have hope for the second advent, don't we? And whose grace is sufficient for you today. Amen? Amen. I want that kind of hope to set in your heart. That nothing would be able to drag you away from your relationship with God. Let it be the anchor of your soul. Amen. Let's pray. Father, help us to dig in deep this Christmas season to prepare our hearts for you, for your presence. It's not just about remembering what happened in that manger, although we should often reflect on that momentous moment. It's also about your promise to come, to return. And we eagerly await, we eagerly expect for that to be fulfilled. Because that's what hope is. But yet also, we can have your presence today in our lives. Emmanuel, God with us. You want to be with us every day. That's why you came in the manger. That's why you're coming again. And that's why you want us to place your hope, our hope in you. That your presence would enter into our hearts. That your Holy Spirit would fill us up. And that your grace would be sufficient in our lives. And Father, we remember our hope is based on you and in the words of Mary, Lord. Let your word to us be fulfilled in your holy name.